Good morning. We are live, and I'm so glad that you're here for this interview with Luis Cortez, who is a candidate for the Virginia Beach School Board. I'm Emily Bowes, and this is Smart Citizen. I would love it if you can tell the people watching a little bit about yourself and why you're running for school board.
Sure. My name is Luis Cortez. I was born originally from Newark, New Jersey, from Puerto Rican parents. My mom was a single mother of three, a educator for 24 years in the Newark Preschool Council in Newark, New Jersey. She taught preschool. I came to the Navy in 1999, I joined the Navy, and I was brought to Virginia, and I've been here ever since. 21 years, going on December 17th. That I'll be in Virginia for 21 years. This is a place I call home. I have five children, four of which are in the district schools here. And my fiance has three daughters that are currently in Virginia Beach. So I have total seven kids in the system that I'm concerned about and what I'm seeing. One of my children, well, two of my kids have IEPs, which is special needs. Mm-hmm. One has a speech problem, and the other one is autistic. And that's what brought me, pretty much has pushed me to run, is because of the lack of a quality education towards special needs children, especially with this pandemic. A lot of these special needs lost a lot of their strides moving forward due to the fact that they cannot relate and have the mental capacity, I can say, the aptitude to actually work virtually, because they're stuck on a schedule. My son was during summer on seat, and then they when he finished 2 weeks before school started, they said he has to go virtual. I thought that was absurd, especially when the governor said phase two, special needs, is up to the school board to decide whether or not special needs can go in seat. So I was kind of upset when the school board decided, no, everybody virtual, when 2 weeks before they were in seat. So I just didn't understand that. And also, my other daughter, who's biracial, happened to get bullied, and she tried to commit suicide on the school property. These are just had enough. I had enough sitting on the sidelines, being a parent, and just watching my children go through things that I cannot imagine. And I'm a product of public schools. And my city that I grew up in is worse than Virginia Beach. I mean, we're not the best neighborhood. You know, so this is something that just spun me to speak out and to be a voice for parents who feel that their rights have been taken away by the administration, and they feel that they don't have any rights towards their children's education.
You raised several great points there, going off of what you just said with parental rights. I know there's been quite a few different questions raised from people that have been tuning in with us about things like medical freedom or some of the other choices that they've been concerned about. What would you do as a member of the school board to help parents feel like they have more rights over their children's education?
We need to have our parents engage more in their children's choices of education. Like what we're running on, vocational. Let's just put vocational. We need to increase the vocational in every school, not just certain academies. We need to have that in every school, due to the fact that not every kid is meant to go to college, but every kid can have a trade and have a job and be a licensed in something that they may like or may excel in life, and maybe then later down the road could afford to pay for college on their own, but they already have a good paying job to establish their financial security and not have a college debt for student loans that they can't afford later on to pay. So these are the things that we're trying to implement and research. Also dual enrollment in Virginia Beach public schools. I was amazed how a lot of Virginia Beach high schools don't have dual enrollment, while in Norfolk, most of their high schools do. So is how can Virginia Beach be falling behind Norfolk when we have a lot of the colleges just like Norfolk does, if not more? So why would we have that build a relationship and partnership with all these universities to extend further to all of our high schools instead of just certain ones? These are the things that we need to research and actually put in place a plan to actually establish, not just talk about it and do more studies, because that's all I keep on hearing is let's study it. There's no need to study. You already have a plan. Let's increase it to every school. That's how you give equality opportunity to everyone, not just certain students in the district, in different districts.
With the parental rights, specifically with the things you mentioned regarding bringing certain students back versus others, especially special needs students, I can definitely understand that concern. What would you change or do differently from the way that the school board has been handling the COVID phase back plan now?
I would have brought the children with special needs stayed in school. They were in in the summer. They should have never been virtual for a week. I think that was absurd. Two, the school had a lot of opportunity to establish an online since March of last year. Pretty much that never happened. You know, COVID started since March of this year. That never happened. So you've been closed for literally a whole school semester practically, and you still couldn't get your IT or your partnership that you established to have proper, internet connection or have your classrooms functioning properly. And since school started, I think there's been more issues with downtime due to application failure and connectivity issues than anything. This should have been tested months ago. Why wait? Why now? You know, why the kids should be suffering even more because your lack of preparation it's not the children's fault for the lack of preparation.
So looking at the technological issues, would you be looking to change those partnerships or completely overhaul the programs? What kind of solutions would you be looking at as far as bringing change to those challenges?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure how they procured this technology. It so happens the company that was procured happened to be the same company that gave Dr. Spence an award for the superintendent of the year for technology and innovation. So to me, that there's something there that, I want to look into due to the fact that it just suspect there's a lot of other, technology companies out there. How are we spending our money? How it taxpayers' money is being spent? And if the proper procurement procedures were followed is my biggest thing, because there's probably a lot of other companies out there could have done it cheaper and probably better. So we have to look into that as well. We want to get the lowest, but the most responsible bid for anything that we do with our taxpayers' money, because again, it affects not just the children, but also the taxpayers. We don't want to keep on increasing taxes because we don't know how to spend their money. That's not the way I run on. I'm a businessman, and I see the profit and loss. And to me, we can invest some of that money that was allocated to the schools to actually enhance on after school programs or other programs to help our children, not spend it on renovations or, my office renovations or anything like that, like I'm hearing.
That raises an interesting point, because we've been hearing about this, some pretty substantial budget cuts this year that have involved, that have taken away teachers' raises and different step bumps and things like that this year. Would you be looking at issues like that as well if you're evaluating P&L and budgets?
Yes, I'm against it. I was kind of, teachers should. I know teachers lost their increases due to the fact, COVID and everything. And I understand that. And they were out of school, so that's an understandable situation. But also, a true leader we should not have received his bonus as well. A true leader would take in the fall as well and not ask or say, is it my contract? I deserve a $12,000 raise bonus when school was closed. So how can you get a $12,000 bonus? Well, that speaks a lot about your leadership skills, and that you're about you. It's not a you know, we team. It's an I team. And that's something that we frown upon. You know, I frown upon it as a military man, as a former military man. I frown upon it because not one person gets the credit. It's a group collectively.
Looking back at what you said about bullying when you first started talking, so you've obviously had some very difficult personal experiences in your family regarding bullying. So what practical things would you be looking to implement in the school board in regards to bullying if you were elected?
You know, we need to start, we have policies, but it's unfortunate that the current administration, the policies are not being followed and not being enforced straight down the road. They're giving these kids no consequences for their actions. And, you know, life is not about that. Life, you know, anything you do in life as adult has consequences. That's why this prison system is outrageous, because of this straight policy that they're having. You know, we have to show kids, hey, you do something, there's consequences for what you do, and you have to pay it so that you can learn the right and wrong and not to do it again. We cannot keep on sheltering the children and letting them believe that they can go through life without facing any consequences for their actions, because that gives a mentality for failure. And we cannot do that.
You mentioned in your campaign website wanting to see some changes as far as discipline and other safety issues in the school. Can you speak to that a little bit more as to what you would be looking for? And it looks like we've got some agreement in the comments as well, of people watching that are thinking along the same line. So speak to me a little bit about that.
I believe we should give local administration the power to discipline. The school board should only go if they want to appeal a discipline issue. But the discipline should be straight followed through everything, no matter race, gender, no matter what. It should follow a guideline according to the actions of the child. And the severity of their actions, not because of their race, not because of anything like that. We need to go straight across the board. If you did a crime, you pay for the crime. And that's just the way it is. Your parents got to be more involved, call the parents. If it goes to expel or, suspension, then the school board can get involved if the parent feels is unjustified. But I think local administration at the school level should be given back to them, not controlled from a school board that's not in present with the child 24/7.
Speaking of race and different issues surrounding that, I've heard you in some other interviews speak really passionately about representation for the Latin community and how you feel like you're able to, or potentially bringing some of that. Can you speak to that a little bit more? Tell me a little more about that.
Sure. So, as the owner of the Latin radio station in Hampton Roads and in Virginia Beach, I have that bridge gate, that platform that I could translate the information pertaining to our children's education throughout the community. This is something that is unique because it's never been able to be done before. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this is something that we could close the gap and bridge it and actually get more of the parents engaged. Right now, I know one of your questions, I must move a little forward, the equity plan that they try to pass. In that equity, the members were 15 African Americans, 2 Caucasian, and 3 others, I believe. No Asians and no Latin people on the board. Nobody was aware of it. Nobody knew nothing about it. So what I spoke on is, listen, and there's no actual plan. It's just a shell. I actually spoke to them and said, hey, why there's no representation, what's going on? And they don't have an answer. They said, oh, we told people. What people did you tell? You know, because it seems to me is only going between 2 races. And that, as the third largest race, ethnicity group in the Virginia Beach public schools, which is the Latin people, we're only 6 points behind the African-American community. So that's something that, you know, that should be questioned. And that is something I did question. And I told them, I said, listen, instead of getting adults involved in this, why don't we have multicultural groups established by the peers, the students themselves, and have 2 teachers oversee those groups. Let the children teach each other about their cultures. Let them do, you know, events. Let them do, you know, food. Listen to music. These are things that you could do throughout the school year, and it's not going to offend anybody. It's not going to question. Well, if we do the, if we want to establish, let's say, the African American history, well, you know what? There's a lot of history out there. So that means we have to do a curriculum for every ethnicity group out there. And is that fair for everyone? Is that fair for the Jews? Is that fair for the Italians that came here? For the you know, Scottish, Ireland, everything? So we have all this stuff that we have to think about and consider before we start doing these drastic plans or curriculum changes.
What I understand of the equity policy is that what was voted for was doing a study, and then the study should produce recommendations that then would lead to a policy. Is that correct? Or different than that?
Yeah, they're talking about a study, but like I told them, how much is that study going to cost? How much money are we going to keep on changing the taxpayers, charging the taxpayers money? You know, you want change, you want equity. It starts from the top. You know, diversity school board. Let's have more minorities run for the offices. Let's encourage. Let's not knock them down when they try to run. Let's try to diversify everything from the top down. Everything starts from the top down. We have people on the school board that have been there for over 20 years. We should put term limits on every office, public office, not just you know, federal, but we need to do local as well, due to the fact that, you know, once you've reached a certain amount of time on a school board or any office, you're just there for power. You don't have any stake in the matter at all. So these are things that you have to address. And and again, you know, voting has its consequences, and that's the thing. We have to change this. We have to take a new turn and go a new direction with our children's education, because it's going down the wrong path.
One of the people that I interviewed for city council recently was also talking about school board, or talking about local election reform, and speaking to some of those term limits and those things, and also looking at the issue of the, I guess I could say, unusual way that Virginia Beach is set up with districts and at-large voting. And if you didn't see that episode or you're not aware, Virginia Beach, I believe, is one of two cities, I don't know if it's in Virginia or in the country, that you can vote for every member of city council and every member of the school board, no matter what area you live in.
Correct.
Which can create some really interesting outcomes, where, from what I've heard, I've never studied it myself, but from what I've heard, you can have situations where, say, for example, Rose Hall District, the majority of people in that district vote for one candidate, but the majority of the population votes for another candidate in that same district. And so they don't actually end up having the representation that they want, because everyone can vote for it. And I would imagine there are arguments on both sides. And I know there's a current court case going on regarding this as well. So what would your opinion be as far as the way those things are broken up? And would you look to make any changes or introduce any changes when you're on the school board as far as reform in these local elections?
No, I would have to at least wait and study a little bit more on this. I can't, you know, this is my first time running for anything. So I'm new. I'm a rookie. Yes, but you know, a lot of rookies tend to have a great season. So, you know, we have to evaluate everything in any situation. And the first step is just to get us on the school board. You know, yes, all these all these school board members are saying that they've been teachers and things of that nature, but they're all alliance to the Virginia Beach Teachers Union. Their main alliance is the teachers union, not the students. They say students first, but they voted to get rid of valedictorian, salutatorian at the end of this year. So how can you reward teachers, superintendents, principals, but not students? You can reward them for sports, but you can't reward them for academic excellence. That's kind of crazy. And you as a teacher, then we may have to question, you know, your methods, because the simple fact is, if you could get, we have to show these kids that there's there's rewards and there's consequences for everything. And if you work hard, then you excel, then you should be rewarded. And these are the things that, you know, I frown upon with the current administration right now.
Let's talk a little bit more about the changing the awards to the Latin honor system. From what I've heard, they still will potentially be presenting some form of award to the highest GPA, but it's broken down into layers of honor system based off of your grade. And I've only just started looking into it. My understanding is that the goal was to give more honors options to more students based off of their grade. But I don't know a whole lot about the arguments for or against. So what would be your argument or, you know, position for overturning that? And what would you want to see done instead? Would you get rid of the Latin system or would you just add those awards back in?
No, you could add them back in. But the thing is, we have to keep the valedictorian and salutatorian. We have to, because a lot of those children that receive those awards, they actually get full rides to college. You know, colleges, that could be the determining factor whether or not you get a full ride or you get a partial scholarship. You know, because why are we going to take it out when there's other states that give it to their students? So if you have an applicant, let's say, I'll say my home state, New Jersey, and one from Virginia. Well, this he's a valedictorian in New Jersey, but he's not in Virginia. So who do you think is going to get a full ride? The valedictorian. And that's something that we have to think about, because there's a lot of children out there that actually work really hard to achieve and make their parents proud, you know, and we should reward them, you know, and they should be recognized. Yes, you could have your honor society. You could have all these other stuff that you want to have for kids that actually maintain a certain GPA, and that's understandable. But we cannot, you know, take away from that distinction from valedictorian and salutatorian, the 1 and 2. We don't do it in sports. We don't do it in anything else. So why are we going to do it? We don't do it for employee of the month in a company when you want to boost your morale. These are things we do. Why would they give teacher of the month awards to boost morales? This is what we do. People sometimes need a little pat on the back to say, hey, great job. You did an outstanding job. So why are we going to, you know, pretty much take it away from our children?
I'm interested to learn and hear more about this particular topic, because it seems to be such a hot button issue this year that people are obviously very passionate about on both sides. And it sounds like it was a relatively recent change. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves, you know, as it goes forward. And, you know, we'll see what the makeup is of the school board on the other side of the election, but it'll be really interesting to see. Another hot button issue, if you will, this year that I've started to see come up in the national conversation and have talked a little bit about here with different people running for school board is the idea of school choice vouchers or, you know, the money falling student, that kind of idea. And I know you've talked a lot about budgets and things regarding the taxpayers. What's your position on that kind of an option?
You know, I believe, you know, parents should have a choice. The money should follow the students. You know, this, you know why? It gives motivation to teachers to actually do excel. You want to, right now, Virginia Beach schools have lost it, in enrollment, have lost. That means that we're losing money. Lack of enrollment is lost the funds from the federal. So if we're losing funds already, that means there's a problem. And we've been having a problem. We've seen that I checked the national voting for the education systems in throughout the United States. I don't see Virginia Beach, not even in the 300s.
Can you explain that a little bit more? What do you mean?
When you research Virginia Beach public school system, like the districts, they're not in the 300s in the national.
And compared to the rest of the country?
Compared to the rest of the country. All the northern schools are usually in the top 100s, northeast. But Virginia is not. We're not even in the 300s. So that's to show something. And they want to keep on implementing this race equity and all this other stuff. Where I come from, there's no such thing as that, because we don't see color. We see people. And we need to, and that starts from the top down. And if you could have your children and the students, students are not born racist. Students are not born having that hatred towards another. This is something that's learned. This is not something that's already in your blood. You know, preschoolers don't know color. They play with everybody. Everybody's their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know my mom was a preschool teacher, so I know everybody's your best friend. So why from preschool to, let's say, middle school, there's already a change in culture. That means something is, we're missing something, and we have to fix it. That's why I propose, you know, teaching, having the multicultural groups in every school from middle school to high school, so, and have it supervised by an administrator, so they could know what is being, you know, administrator could guide them how to go about, and you have members from every race, and they could be taught, they could learn within themselves, let them teach each other, you know, do a little history about each other's cultures, and then present it to the school. You know, that's the beautiful thing about it. Those students take their time, you know, 1 hour per day or after school, whatever, and then they do that. And then they present it to the whole staff. They have a one assembly, or depending on how many students, you could have multiple assemblies throughout the day, one day full assemblies, and you do the same thing for everyone so they can learn. And this is something that is an eye-opener for every student, and not just students, administration, because teachers don't know every culture, you know, and it's a good, you know, teaching tool to everything. And I have the curriculum for that. I have still administrators from New Jersey that I'm very close to, and they were my former teachers. So, you know, they're a little bit older, but, you know, they still around. And I was able to reach out to them via Facebook, and they have no problems assisting me with developing and starting these multicultural groups in our schools, so we could teach our students how to go about doing it and our staff.
Did you do those kinds of groups when you were in school?
Yes, I did. Okay. We grew up with a whole bunch of people, Brazilian, Portuguese, African-American, all Latin America, not just Puerto Rico, Dominican, Utah, Mexican, Salvadorian, everyone. We didn't care. I have friends that interracial marriages. I mean, that's my best friend. Like, we don't care. You know, this, you build those bonds, but you build them. The beautiful thing, those bonds are made in school. Those bonds, and then if you keep them strong enough, those bonds extend further, even after school. You know, been 21 years out of high school. I still have friends, you know, from grammar school that I keep in contact with. And these are things, these are bonds that you have with people that you remember and you cherish. And anything that happens, they're always going to reach out and give you a helping hand. And it's just the way I was brought up. I don't, you know, the first time I witnessed and saw discrimination was when I came down here the first year in 1999.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was shocked. I had to call my mom, and I was like, I don't know where I'm at. Like, I don't know how to deal with this, you know? So these are things that I think we're a little bit behind on. And I think if elected, I could shed some light on this and establish it and actually bring back some of the education. Because I think our history lessons and our the way we're teaching history is not the same we learned history when we was in school. I think they're cutting out a lot of the history that we've been through. Remember, history for everyone should be to learn about the past, what made us today, to not repeat it in the future. You know, and I think we're cutting out a lot of our past because we don't want to hurt the present, but yet we're putting a Band-Aid for the future, and that's not the way it should be. You know, and I think we need to go back to the way we were learning history back when we went to school. Learn about world history for 2 years, learn U.S. history for two, but also include, you know, we spent about 3 weeks on slavery trade and things of that nature, and the Moor invasion, you know, and the Holocaust. You know, they did a study to ask students about if they knew about the Holocaust, and 60-something%, I believe, didn't even know what it was at. And that's disturbing, because that's something that a lot of people, you know, suffered and lost, just like the slavery trade. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's hurtful, but it was a stepping stone to who we are today and where we came from before. You know, I'm a product of slavery. Puerto Rico was the number one. That was the first time in the trade of slavery came across, and we had three cultures into one, which was made, you know, started the Puerto Rican, you know, culture. Because now you have African, Indian from the islands, and the Spanish. So now you made one with three races. You made one, and all the islands have the same natives. So you know we were the product of that, and I'm proud. If you look into our culture, we're very proud of who we are. We're very proud people. We wear our flag everywhere we go.
It's true.
You know, and we're a small island, but we're very powerful in talent. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and that's what we want to encourage our students to be proud of who they are, be proud of where they come from. Don't hide who you are. Don't hide where you come from. You know, doesn't matter. That's the beautiful thing about people and culture. And being in the military taught me about culture and taught me the beauty of every culture, because there's always good and there's always bad about everyone. We just need to learn how to distinguish and not judge everyone by a couple of rotten apples.
I totally agree. What would you say is the one thing that you are really passionate about, but you don't feel like you've gotten to speak to yet in terms of why you're running or what you would like people to know? You know, is there one issue or one topic that you are like, man, I really want to make sure this gets spoken to?
You know, I guess safety. A lot. I've been hearing a lot about teachers and student safety in the schools. And you know, yes, we have SRO officers and they're great, but we also have a shortage in police officers as well. We have I think 120 officers short. That's almost two precincts, full precincts short in our city. So you know what I propose? I propose maybe establishing special conservators or armed security. Bring a contractor in there to handle security for the schools that have the background, have the credentials certified, and put our SRO officers on the streets because we need them. We need them on the streets, and until we fill those positions, we need them. We need them. We need to feel safe. We need to have. If we could hire three security for the price of one SRO officer, we just secured our school better than we would have with just one SRO officer. And these are that's how you spend properly. That's how you spend, you know, adequately, and you get more for your buck. And that's what I propose. I want to see that. You know, I am in the public safety industry. I own a security company, so I would not be, you know, I won't be involved in that, but I could write it. I could write the proposal. I could do all that. I know the language. And I've been in the industry 3 years. And I'm a special conservator. So I'm a sworn peace officer in three cities. Chesapeake.
Tell me a little bit more about what that means, because I'm not familiar with that term.
A special conservator is a private law, is peace officer, which has law enforcement powers in the jurisdiction that they're working on and they're assigned on. So let's say my orders, and it's a circuit court judge that swears you in, gives you those, authorizes you those powers. You have to have a complete background investigation, have also a sex offender registry investigation. They want to make sure you have all the credentials that a law enforcement officer has, and the training. And then they fulfill, they swear you in as a law enforcement, as a peace officer. And it's regulated by the Virginia Code 19.2-13, if anybody wants to research that. You have to go to an extensive background investigation. You have to do a week. Right now is a week, but they're about to change it to 3 weeks course. And you learn the basic law. You pretty much learn arresting, how to arrest, everything. You have to have the insurance requirements to be able to do that, because in case you take somebody's civil liberties, just like a police department, you have to have the insurance to cover yourself. And it's an expensive insurance. It's nothing to, you know, not everybody, you know, will be able to do this. But it gives an opportunity to people that, let's say, are older, can't do complete the academy, the police academy, the physical requirements. Also because maybe they're too strict on credit and they can't make it due to credit issues. You know, there's certain things that would disqualify you in it, to join the police department. So this gives you a leeway into that path. We're not cops. We're not here to take over the police. We're not here to do that, but we're here to supplement what the police cannot do, you know, or what the police is overstretched. I believe law enforcement is a great partnership to be with security and public safety, because they need us and we need them. We can help them with petty stuff, but we need them for the big stuff, you know, loitering and things of that nature. You don't need to waste a cop from doing that. When if you have an armed security on site, you can be like, hey, I need you to walk away, you know, or, you know, break it up, you know, if there's a fight or whatever. I mean, cops have right now a lot on their plate with everything that's going on and people trying to defund them. You know, the chaos will be if the cops were defunded. I mean, how many more citizens will have to arm themselves to protect their valuables, you know, and nobody's going to do nothing about it. So I think that it's just a great partnership to be with our police and a great police department that we have here. And, you know, but we could always help them out a little bit more. And I think with their shortage and everything, and to prevent anything, I think we should start partnering up with some of these other companies that are, you know, take away some of the liability from the city and the school board.
You've talked about a few different budget issues, and obviously I wasn't actually aware that we had that large of a police shortage. So thank you for filling me in on that. I learned last night in my interview with Trinace Riggs that we lost 70 teachers at the beginning of the school year, is what she said, with retirements and people choosing to leave, I'm assuming due to COVID concerns or things like that. But regardless of the reasons, it seems like quite a few teachers when we have, 86 schools. That's almost one teacher per school. So what would you do, or what would you change in order to help attract and retain more quality teachers?
That's good. You said my opponent. That's who Trinae's race, my opponent. That's great to know, because the thing is, there was the time where Virginia Beach had a waiting list to be a teacher in the schools. There was a time that Virginia Beach was the most sought out city to work for educators. What happened? You know, this administration happened. The lack of, you know, they talk about the teachers. My opponent voted to not give their raises, but voted for the superintendent's raise. How are you talking about taking care of our teachers if you're not even for them? You know, I say, you know, incentives. Let's do more. Let's give them a guide. Let's give them you know, I will have to look at the budget, but we will have to do something like what they did in Jersey. They gave them tiers. If you get your bachelor's, or you come in as a bachelor's, you got this. If you get your master's, you have this. They give you tiers, but also on performance. So they evaluate the teachers on performance. But you see, in Jersey, they give zeros to students. They don't give them reduce. They don't give them a 60 for turning nothing. Zeros. That's something that consequences. We have to do that. In life, if you don't do your work, do you deserve the paycheck? No, you get fired.
Right.
You do your job, you get fired. So why are we telling students, oh, don't worry about it. If you don't do your work, you get a 60. You know, that's crazy.
Is that our current system?
Yes.
I saw on your website you said something about changing the grading system back to ABCs. What is it currently, and what would you change?
It says DP, P, and all these letters and acronyms. I'm like, what happened to, you know, A, B, C, D, and F? I mean, I need to know that. The current system is good for K to second. The reason being, this is the time where children are actually developing their educational, you know, skills, their learning skills. So you know what? You don't want to discourage them to give up. okay? That's understandable. But once you get to the third grade, you need to change that, because now that's going to follow you now. You already have 3 years, sometimes even more, four, because if you go to pre-K, to establish yourself, how you're going to be as a student. And then you can start working your way up. You know, you also have, I wish I had my report card, but it also has letters for excellent. Like if you're doing outstanding, it'll give you that on certain things. Like if your attitude, like your let's say if they give you're performing, you're interacting with the schools or your teachers, and you're always involved in school, they'll put an outstanding. They'll put something needs improvement. Needs improvement means you don't talk, you don't participate in class. So these are things that the parents could question. Hey, what is going on? Why are your grades slipping? What is this? Why are you not participating? You know, and these are things that we should go back. That way kids work harder. You give somebody a chance to compete, like me, I'm a competitor. You give me a chance to compete with anybody, I'm gonna push myself until I can't go no more. You know, and it's just the way it is. And that's my competitive nature. But now we're giving kids, making them complacent. You know, oh, it's okay. No matter what you do, you're still going to be passed. That's life. That's not part of life. That's not what life is about. Life is about, you know, stumbling, falling, but getting yourself back up and actually going back and do it better. You know, we all fail at one point in our life, and we have to learn how to get back up and shake it off and try it again. You know, how many times the Wright brothers failed at flying a plane? A lot. You know, a lot of people with great minds failed.
Mm-hmm. Edison failed 10,000 times trying to find the light bulb.
You see?
Filament.
So you see, and these are things, but he found the right one afterwards.
He did. Yeah, so, he said he didn't fail 10,000 times. He just tried 10,000 ways that didn't work.
Yep. And these are great minds. But that's what we have to teach our students and our, you know, and our, everybody, you know. That's why parents, because of this, parents are looking for other ways to take their children to educate them. Homeschooling has been an increase. Private schools have been an increase. Why? Because of the lack of our public schools. You know, they're failing us. The public schools are failing us. You know, all the questions that we're having of people cheating in high schools that so the students could raise their GPA. I believe it was three high schools got caught that they were trying to tailor the kids' grades so they could look better in the standings. These are things.
The administration was doing that, or the students?
The schools themselves is what I believe Wavy put it out there, that there was a controversy at three of the high schools that got caught changing grades or doing something like that. I got to research it, get refreshed myself. But these are things that we have to not have. This is crazy. Why are we doing this? Why, you know, that should have been a problem. That should have been, you know, that shouldn't even be there. You know, that's something that oversight. So, you know, we have to fix everything. I mean, we have to go back, I guess, old school way. And a lot of teachers will even me with my children. I'm a math geek. I love math. This I don't know what they call it. This little box that they make kids do their math to add and subtract.
Mm-hmm.
Part it. You're making the kids. I'm gonna speak lamest terms for a lot of people that don't want to speak. I'm gonna go to the room. And the word may be, a lot of people say it's insensitive. No, it's not insensitive. I think whoever thought of it, they need to, you know, look into themselves, because math is math and it's simple. You're making it better than what it is. I teach my kids from the top of their heads. All my kids, they learn math and they can do it on the top of their head. They don't need a paper. You know, my son's been excelled this whole time. And I had a couple of disagreements with the teachers, and then they would ask me, what they have to do it this way. I was like, math is simple. This way is just making them look, you know, more slower than what they need to be. You know, we need to know numbers quick. If you don't know what's 20 to minus 16, and you have to do a whole thing for to get the answer, that's just not for me. What happened to crossing the two, bringing the one over?
Oh yeah, that's how I learned math too.
And that's what I'm talking about. We have to get away from all that and go. Let's go back to the basics and the actual stuff that kids actually learn. Because right now we have third world countries higher than the United States in education, and that's crazy. How we dropped? Crazy. I think we dropped as a nation. We dropped 21st, 22nd in the world, and that's just crazy. How we're that far behind when we've always been in the top five. How we get all the way far down, and it's because of these practices that we're doing, and we're making our children go backwards instead of moving forward.
Well, Lewis, thank you so much for all of your time chatting with me today. If you want to learn more about Lewis, you can check him out, CortezVBSchools.com. He's also on Facebook and several places. Is there anything else that you would like people to keep in mind as they're going to the polls? Just one last quick thought before we send people off to the rest of their work day.
Yeah, you know, sure. You know, I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran, and I know how to work with everyone. Our main goal is just to get the mission done. And our mission in this race is literally our children and give back our parental rights to our parents of their children's education. And if elected, I will fight for your right and your child's right to a great education and a public school education, because, again, public schools are great. They're great. They're great for the community, and a lot of people depend on it. And right now, the education system is on a balance.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don't forget to vote, or not vote. You can vote today. Early voting is open, but don't forget to register to vote today. If you haven't today, October 13th is the deadline to register to vote in the state of Virginia. You can early vote until the 31st of October, and then general election is on November 3rd. So if you haven't registered to vote, I know I'm tired of hearing about it too, but go out and do it. It takes 1 minute and you'll just get it done. And then you'll make sure that you're able to vote because you want to give yourself the option to be able to participate in this election. It's important. Don't forget to learn more about Lewis, CortezVBSchools.com, and follow Smart Citizen on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Smart Citizen USA. So appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, Lewis. I look forward to hearing from you more in the future.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.